our present meditation is on the Beatitudes. I found over the years it is better not to have any doubts on certain subjects. I hear the Beatitudes. Trust you that, O Lord, help of our heart, so that a sinner will say what the Lord knows best you need. The Beatitudes synthesize Christianity on its living side. In other words, if God became man, he both revealed to us mysteries that we are to believe with our minds that had never before been revealed to the human race. And the most fundamental mystery on which everything else, depends, is that Jesus Christ is God. His divinity is a bedrock of everything else we ought to believe. Once you believe that a man speaking with human lips was the all-knowing God in human form, then that settles it. That is why, how wise of Christ to have done it. When quoting from the Old Testament, he would say, love the Lord your God with your whole soul, with all your heart, and with all your strength. But Christ had it. What an important imperative. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole mind. That's our faith. In other words, accepting what Christ, who is God, revealed, although we do not comprehend. In the Cali vocabulary, to comprehend means to fully understand. That is the definition of the mystery. Something we believe, accept with our minds, without comprehending. That's the faith side of Christianity. But you're not only to believe what Christ, who is our God, revealed to us as true. We are to live up. And this should be taken literally. We are to live up as far as we can with His grace. The life that he as man lived during his stay here in this valley of tears. And the revealed synthesis of what God became man wants us to do in following his example is summarized in the Beatitudes. And we first read the Beatitudes, and as Doubleday more than once wrote back to me, Father, why did you quote the juice of the Bible as it is in print? Because sometimes the juice of the Bible is a mistake. I've always made sure I had a contract beforehand. The juice of the Bible, which I'm using, begins each beatitude with the word happy. I'll have it. Thanks. The correct translation of Greek is not have it or I'll have it. The correct translation is bless it. What's the difference? There are a thousand ways we can be happy. There's only one way to be blessed, and that is to be made happy by God. What then are the Beatitudes? The Beatitudes are eight anticipations of the everlasting joy for which we were made. What each Beatitude has, I know we all know, is first a promise and then a condition. And my plan for this meditation is to go over the eight Beatitudes as promises and then concentrate on the condition. God made us to be happy. Hear it. And don't forget. And we're to be happy not only in eternity. We're to be happy in time. We better be. Otherwise, all this talk about heaven is so much pious platitude. But you must pay the price, and the price is high. Another preliminary observation. The Beatitudes begin Christ's Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel, synthesize Christ's teaching of what he expects of his followers. And in one verse after another of Christ's Sermon on the Mount, he keeps contrasting. You are told to do so and so, but I tell you, it was revealed to your ancestors, do this, but I'm telling you, do that. And Christ chose to give the Beatitudes first and exclusively to the disciples, so that they in turn, which he means the apostles, they in turn were to then come to understand the Beatitudes from experience and then teach the faithful. And Christ said, I have come that you may have joy and have it in abundance. He meant it. And not only, as the satanic Karl Marx says, is Christianity bogus, I'm quoting Marx, promising heaven to people, provided they have suffered and endured all kinds of injustice here on earth. Marx, you liar. You are to be happy here on earth. Of course, his happiness, needless to say, is not complete, is not perfect, but it's genuine, authentic happiness. Now the Beatitudes, let me first read them. changing has already to do at Mass when I'm reading the Gospel or the Bible at Mass, and whatever text they give me, the New American Bible, or the Jesus. I don't tell people, I'm a friend, I'm changing words. I just go on and keep changing as I read to make sure that what I'm reading is what the Holy Spirit inspired the writer to say. Blessed. So, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Second, blessed are the gentle, for they shall have the earth for their heritage. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what is right. They shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful. They shall have mercy shown them. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted in the cause of right. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and it's still the eighth beatitude. Blessed are you when people abuse you and persecute you and speak all kinds of calumny against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward, there will be great in heaven. This is how they persecuted the prophets before you. Thanks, Lord. Now, what are you telling us? Have you been saying, not just in this retreat, but over the years, the key to living our faith faithfully is to understand what we believe as far as we can with God's grace. What then is Jesus telling us? He tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We shall be only as happy on earth as our hearts are detached from the things of this world. And this heaven, which Christ is promising, is not only a promise for, well, the eternal future. We'll be only as happy here on earth as our hearts are detached from everything, especially everything which is sensibly perceptible. The eyes, the lips, the ears, the touch. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and St. Augustine is so clear in explaining this heaven is meant to be experienced already on earth. As I've said before, I never hesitate giving the retreatants what else. Resolutions. Do this. Don't do that. Please don't forget what I told you. Say the answers three times a day. Pardon me. Okay? Abed, at 11 o'clock, we now send your Fernandes a concession. Stay in bed, much say the Angelus. What's the resolution for this first beatitude? Beg our Lord that your life here on earth may be happy. Of course, you're not in that eternal celestial paradise for which you made. Not yet. And will be just as happy, and only as happy, this side of eternity, as we surrender our wills to God. Years ago, when I was celebrating my 50th anniversary in the Society of Jesus, 10 years ago, the Jesuit Convention, my annual formal conference, congratulated me on my golden jubilee in the Society of Jesus. John, he said, could you briefly describe your 50 years in the Society of Jesus? Sure, I cannot imagine 50 happier years. He didn't smile. Would you please explain? In obedience to the provision I told him, the secret of happiness is loving the cause. He asked no more questions. And the cross is, I never tire of telling one audience after another, the cross is a verb. It is the will of God crossing our wills. Period. Close the book. And you don't complain. You love it. And you're happy. We go on. Happy the gentlemen, they shall have the earth for their heritage. There are two good translations of the original Greek of St. Matthew, either gentle or meek. Meekness and gentleness are synonyms. But as carefully we distinguish, a meek person is one who controls his or her anger. A gentle person is one who is kind, loving under provocation. Only strong people can be gentle. It is not a recommendation to be a weasel. Now, the stronger your will, the more gentle you can be. Gentleness is restraining power. And the richer your vocabulary, the more you could repay in 5 words any insult that someone gives you. But you control your strength. Show their love for you. was a promise. Strange, depending on the translation. You'll have the earth for your possession. My object, who wants the earth? Over the centuries, as I've never tired telling patriots or those whom I've taught the theology of the New Testament. The gift which God gives those who are gentle is the gift to move the hardest hearts. The grace to convert sinners. The grace to bring back those who have been completely strayed from the will of God. But what a difference. I repeat, weak people cannot be gentle. There must be a strong will and above average mind and love. Love restrains that power that you don't say or you don't do what, humanly speaking, you are spontaneous in kind to do in order to pay back. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. is a piece of bedding, sometimes called a comforter. Am I correct? We better know what our Lord is telling us. I never tire again with the key letters in that word comfort, the letters F-R-T. The same letters used in the word fort. The same letters that belong to the word fortitude. What is Christ's promise? To give us strength, spiritual strength. That's why. Oh no, don't say it. Yes. That's why God sends us suffering and pain, so that thereby he might become more strong. We are to grow in our strength of will, in not just resigning ourselves to God's will. No. To resign ourselves indeed, but to accept God's will, and the hardest of all, to choose God's will, although I foresee with every ounce of my energy and every faculty of my soul, this is going to be painful. So what? You've heard this before. There is no true love without pain. And the key word is true love. And God makes sure that you go in his love.
Knowledge and wanting love.
him the secret. Hymns. We don't have to have the Beatitudes to tell us that we have strong, powerful desires. The secret is to hunger and thirst, which means strong to desire what God wants us to desire. There's one thing you do, please, for the retreat ends, not quite, but almost 24 hours from now. Get an inventory of your desires. Check them out. And cross them out. Put others in. God wants us to be happy, but happy on His condition. Happy by desiring what He knows we need, and not what we want. I didn't think I'd say this. A 5-year-old girl. Grandmother was taking care of her grandchild while the mother was in the hospital giving birth to her latest child. I visited the family and an old man talked to this little girl and I know she knew what she was saying. I asked you, call her first by name. What makes you happy? Is it getting what you want or getting what you need? And honestly, I don't think the child was guessing. She said, I am happy when I get what I need. Now we all need to repeat the word. It's not what we need in life. And not without a second thought. Keep examining what we want. What we need is what God wants, and what God wants for us is what we need. Does God withdraw things that we want? Yes, He surely does. And one reason is to teach us. Teaches. And this is a daily task. I'm going to do it. You should do it. Examine your conscience every single day of your life. And check yourself. You're giving in to your wants. And honestly, try with God's grace to satisfy your needs. What's the promise? We shall be satisfied. That's what happiness means. The satisfaction of desire. But watch it. The satisfaction of desires that conform to the will of God. And the beauty is then and do nothing. And believe me, I know no one on earth better than I know this sinner. Is a lifetime task. I repeat, make a daily inventory of where you have sought what you wanted instead of what you needed. Hear what we need, hear the God who knows us, wants us to have. That means a daily sifting of our wills. And the world in which we are living is literally saturated with stimuli, arousing, promoting all kinds of things that we might desire them. And we can spend a fortune. That you know already in the retreat. The annual expense in advertising to the United States, if you touch on that, which averages $170 billion a year in advertising in the United States. Many countries in the world, many, would have all they would need if they had $170 billion a year to meet the national needs. I know for some of you must have said this at least 10 times. I like this definition of advertising. Remember? Advertising is that which gets people to buy what they don't need with money they don't have. Now I begin with this speaker. Now we need to make a daily inventory, and I repeat this, daily, of our desires. Make a day. Blessed are the merciful, they shall have mercy shown them. You might almost think that Christ is overdoing it. He's talking about mercy in one part of the Gospels after another. He put it right inside the Beatitudes. He put it right inside the Lord's Prayer. And he repeatedly tells us, you are sinners. That's what mercy means. Loving those who do wrong. Thank God for the people who wrong us. Because the more unkind, the more even cruel they are to us, pardon me, the better. We need, and to a lifetime of experience, we need them to be unkind, uncharitable, thoughtless, selfish, and their dealings with us. We need them. Why? Because then, thank God, we can practice mercy. That's what mercy is. Not just loving other people. That's charity. Mercy is loving those who do not love us, or at least as far as we can see, have not been showing their love toward us. Because then, and my dear fellow sinners, we ever need to hear this, because then we are assured mercy from the God against whom we have sinned. Without the Beatitudes, and I mean every syllable of the next sentence, without the Beatitudes, I would long ago have been 6 feet underground or institutionalized for life in a mental asylum. We need our faith to remain sane. I mean that literally. In order to remain sane, in either living with or dealing with persons who are so obviously unkind, thoughtless, hurtful the attitudes towards us. We continue. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. As often as I may have said this to some of you, I want to make sure everyone in the church understands how critically important it is for us not just to leave some time, but what does the church tell us? We are being told. We are being told. We shall see God only if we are pure in heart. And the first condition and the primary meaning of that purity of heart is sinlessness of heart. There is one laudable addition, one laudable ambition we should all have. We should honestly strive, and I mean this, strive the closer we're getting to eternity, to become more and more sinless. In other words, the first meaning of seeing God, of course, is reaching the beatific vision. I first gave the scripture passage. Remember your last end, and you will never sin. Modern people stupidly sin because they forget that they have a destiny beyond this world here on earth. Ignatius tells us, sometimes a passion can be so strong that the love of God is not enough to motivate you. Then think about a punishment of God. In other words, sin carries consequences. In other words, there are things we know God does not want us to do. These are your days. To say, hey, temporary pleasure here on earth, we dare not risk losing that eternal happiness for which we were made. Well, there's another meaning. The pure of heart are not only those who are striving sincerely to live a sinless life. There are also those who live a life of chastity. I know what I'm talking about. There are people who don't even know there is such a thing, what a combination, marital chastity. You mean that married people are to live lives of chastity? Yes, my dear. In one of the great documents of the Church of Christ, in the encyclical of Pope Pius XI, look it up, weird. The Latin title is Casti Convivere, Chaste Marriage. And chastity is not only, not even mainly, the control of our sex passions. Chastity is selfless love. Do you hear me? Selfless love. Oh, what bargainers we can be with our affections. How clever business people. I will love you on the condition that you love me. The more you love me, the more I will love you. That is not Christianity. Blessed are, the Lord tells us, all peacemakers. They shall be called the sons or the children of God. For they spent many days in reflection on the meaning of peace. Of course, negatively speaking, peace is the absence of conflict. As I've said so often to some of you, there is peace of mind and peace of heart. Peace of mind is the possession of the truth. The experience of knowing the truth is peace of mind. Peace of heart, the experience of doing God's will. No self-willed person has peace of heart, period. You have only as much peace of heart as, and this may be hard, and the more strong-willed we are, the harder it will be. We shall be only as peace in the heart. Must I say, as we surrender our wills to the will of God, we ask Jesus, the only child of the will of God. Oh, I know what self-will means. Bending a bar of steel is easier than bending some people's will. Finally, you might almost say summarily, what is sometimes called the eighth beatitude, and some prefer to speak of it as the eighth and ninth beatitudes. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. Pardon me. Blessed are those who are persecuted in the cause of right. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people abuse you, persecute you, speak all kinds of calumny against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad. And the Greek of St. Matthew allows it to say, dance with joy. Do you hear me? Years in working with the Holy See has taught me that I keep repeating an awful lot. How we need bishops, priests, the leaders in society, how we need to not calculate how well we'll be received by others. But ask ourselves, does God want me to do this? Does He want me to say it? And after prayerful reflection, I conclude, yes, it is God's will that I do. Then do it and say it, and then be prepared for the consequences. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the Beatitudes. They are Your formula for happiness, not only in the life to come, but already here on earth. And how we need, how desperately we need to see that true happiness does not consist in doing our wills. It consists, even here on earth, only in submitting our wills to You, of sacrificing what we want to please You, our Lord and our God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gloria, Maria, Gloria, 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 Gloria